In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Last month, I attended the second annual Pan-Orthodox clergy retreat that took place at St. Nicholas Ranch near Fresno. It's about a 3.5-hour drive away, which is plenty of time for reflection. And somewhere about 2 hours into the drive, I encountered a billboard along the road that simply read this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. You recognize the scriptural passage. After all, it's taken from our epistle text today. But as I drove on, I recognized that I was irritated by that billboard. Strange, right? A clergyman reads a scripture on a billboard and he's irritated. But nonetheless, as I drove on, I was irritated and had to recognize what was going on. Why did that irritate me the way that it did? And why it irritated me was because they only listed part of the verse. It wasn't a complete quotation of 1 Timothy 1:15. It was just part of the verse. And they lopped off that second part where the Apostle Paul says, "Of whom I am first." And in the end, despite the fact that there was certainly good intention behind those that put this sign on the billboard, I think in the end it struck me with a negative tone. And I think perhaps I'm aware that many people might come by that sign and receive from that negative tone. Because by dissecting the verse and leaving off the second half of the verse, it comes across self-righteous, preachy. It puts the apostle and Christianity on a pedestal, speaking down to sinners, of which I'm not, see. And it fails to identify with the human condition that all of us are sinners. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how it struck me, and I think that was what was going on and what bothered me about that. And I know that I certainly can be as self-righteous and hypocritical as the next guy, and that's the point. All of us can be that hypocritical, self-righteous person. We don't want to be that, and I certainly want to be careful this morning not to get on my own pedestal, create a pedestal. I don't want to look down on the sign or its creator. However, I can say that that's not the complete verse. And in dissecting the verse, essentially I think that the message of the gospel is dissected and only part is presented. The Apostle Paul preached a wise and balanced message. His gospel was the true gospel. And you see, that balance is found essentially in this verse that we read this morning. The apostle isn't on a self-righteous pedestal. By identifying himself as the chief of sinners, he was identifying with the condition of humanity. He presents a message that is essentially a message of hope and humility. And you see, when those things are blended, when we have hope and humility blended together, we have a much more balanced perspective of the gospel. That is what the gospel is all about. It's all about the hope that is in Christ Jesus, who has come to save us sinners. But it's also about the humility of accepting that message, receiving Christ, and dedicating our life to being his disciple, following after him. It implies humility as well. We can't have only the hope without the humility that is attached to that. The statement that Christ came to save sinners is certainly a message of hope. The apostle isn't boasting of his sinful past. He isn't trivializing the sins that he had committed. He is making a point, however. He's saying, look at my life. I'm an example of God's grace at work. My life is a testimony that Christ came to save sinners. Because I am the chief of sinners. After all, I was a killer. Does it get any worse than this? I killed innocent Christians. And if Christ can save me, one who killed innocent blood, the chief of sinners, then surely he can save you. You see, the gospel is a message of hope for all of us. Christ came to save sinners. And that's where we find ourselves, in the midst of our own sins, being sinners ourselves. How hopeful this perspective truly is. Because there is hope when I know that Christ came to save me, a sinner. Christ saved Paul, Christ can surely save me from all of my struggles, all of my situations. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And where sin is extreme, God's grace is even more extreme. We too can experience that extreme grace of God in our lives. We too can experience that and receive from that, experience the same mercy that the Apostle Paul experienced. We have to understand that God's mercy is much more than a judge suspending a sentence that we are deserving of. Certainly that's a part of mercy, but it goes far beyond that. And when we speak of God's mercy, we are speaking of so much more. God's mercy includes His love. God's mercy includes His grace. God's mercy is His power that is at work in our lives. And God's mercy is ultimately found in His very presence in our life. In God's mercy, there is always hope. And that is the message of the gospel, that there is always hope, because it is there and it is in Christ. But the apostle's perspective also presents humility. He doesn't allow himself to become puffed up. He doesn't allow himself to think that he's arrived. He maintained the perspective that I am a sinner. And there's always a need for a deeper work of repentance to be done. Even though we have started the work and the journey of repentance, it's an ever unfolding path that is before us. It always requires deeper elements to be applied in our life. It's not about if God has already forgiven me for the sin or not. It's about if I have truly been healed by His grace in the depths of my soul. And the apostle understood this. He didn't forget his failures. He remembered them, pursuing repentance in humility. He always maintained that awareness of his own current need. You see, there's humility in this approach. There are certainly some individuals who will offer their criticism or even their offense at the practice of the Jesus Prayer. And what are they essentially offended by? They're offended by that line, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." There are those that look at this and they say, well, it takes away from the redemption that is in Christ. It's overemphasizing our sinfulness and forgetting the fact that Christ has transformed us and put us all on the path of sainthood. But in reality, it emphasizes our need for humility, our need of Christ in our life in the very present moment. It certainly acknowledges the greatness of Christ's redemptive work, but not only in the past. It's acknowledging that that greatness of Christ's redemptive work is right here in the present, and I need to access it right now in this moment as I pray this prayer. So as we pray, we're inviting Christ into the present moment of our life to work redemption in our life in this present moment. You see, this prayer is helpful on our path of humility. Forgetting that we too are sinners, or pretending that this is somehow unimportant, a past event that doesn't have any merit on the present reality, it will never bring us to a good place spiritually. Because if we forget that we are sinners, or we pretend that it's unimportant, we are failing to recognize what is a reality. It's a form of denial, because we are sinners. We have issues that we have to deal with, that we need God's grace in our life. And even when we are in a good place, spiritually speaking, we still need to maintain that perspective that we are sinners and still need a greater work of grace to be done, that we still needed to have repentance at a deeper level in our lives. No matter how far we progress, we still stand before the Holy God as sinners. You see? Our journey is one of humility. The gospel is a message of hope, but it's also a message that calls us to humility. And lived both of these things, both hope and humility. There is hope for us because Christ came to save sinners like us. But all of us sinners need to also likewise embrace humility and walk the path of humility. With both hope and humility, we find the balance that we need in our lives. It is a sure saying that is worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.